Good morning. It's Tuesday, August 6th. I'm Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, what caused yesterday's stock market drama? Why many Americans who go to the doctor don't end up seeing a doctor? And an already iconic Olympic moment with three Black women on the podium. But first, Kamala Harris has chosen Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate. He'll be on stage with Harris tonight at a rally in Philadelphia. That'll kick off a campaign tour through a number of battleground states. Walz got the call over a number of high-profile finalists, including Arizona Senator Mark Kelly and Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. The Washington Post took a look at Walz's biography, calling him a former public school teacher with a love of history who's now about to become part of history. He grew up in Nebraska, enrolled in the Army National Guard at the age of 17, and served for 24 years. He later moved to Minnesota for a teaching gig. Former students say he was energetic and effective, though not especially ideological. Some were surprised when he ran for office. He won a congressional seat in 2006 and the governor's mansion in 2018. Early in his congressional career, Walz was seen as a moderate Democrat and a strong supporter of gun rights. The NRA gave him an A rating, but later he shifted. After the school shooting in Parkland, Florida, he said he donated all the money he'd previously received from the NRA to charity, and he pushed for tougher gun laws. He's credited his, at the time, 17-year-old daughter with pushing him to change his stance, saying basic gun safety isn't a threat to gun rights. In his first race for governor, Walz defeated his Republican opponent by more than 10 percentage points, and he easily won re-election in 2022. During his tenure leading Minnesota, the state has enshrined the right to abortion, legalized marijuana, and offered protection for people seeking gender-affirming health care. Allies have pointed to his ability to win over red-leaning voters in rural parts of his state. A lot of his supporters say one of his greatest assets is his authenticity, that he knows how to talk to normal people. His regular guy videos have their fans. In this one, he mixed car repair tips with his get out the vote message.
Hey, everybody, Tim here. 11 days till the election, but it's my pro tip of the day out on the road. I got to show you this. This right here is the headlight harness on a 2014 Ford Edge. Ford, this is unacceptable. It burned out hot on the connector.
A former Minnesota Republican Party leader told The Guardian Walz is right out of central casting, the way you'd think a Minnesota governor would be like. A former Democrat from Ohio called him, quote, just a freaking down-home guy. Walz is considered by many to be the strongest VP pick, and he has for weeks now been helping Democrats push a message that the Trump ticket is, quote, weird. He explained why recently on MSNBC.
We do not like what has happened where we can't even go to Thanksgiving dinner with our uncle because you end up in some weird fight that is unnecessary. And I think bringing back people together, well, it's true. These guys are just weird. And it's, you know, they're running for He-Man Women Haters Club or something. That's what they go at. That's not what people are interested in.
Democrats hope that Walz can be a good communicator for much-needed Midwest voters, while also energizing young and progressive voters impressed by his record. Let's turn now to the state of the economy after one of the most volatile days global markets have seen in years.
Markets around the world have dropped amid fears that the U.S. economy is heading for a slowdown.
A tumultuous day for markets across the globe.
European markets plummeted when trading began this morning. Following the reactions from Asia and Europe, U.S. markets opened with a significant sell-off.
At points today, the Dow was down more than 1,000 points.
That's what it sounded like in the moment, but it's important to have perspective. As lousy a day as it was for U.S. stocks, they're still up for the year. And it's true, yesterday, Japan's Nikkei had its largest losses since the Black Monday crash of 1987. But today, it closed up more than 10%, wiping out most of those losses. Put everything together, and we have signs that some investors are worried, but plenty are still confident. Right now, many market pros, financial advisors, and economists say it's not a time to panic. As for the pessimists, there are several potential reasons that they sold off yesterday. There were some big developments in Japan's economy that had global ripple effects. Also, some big tech stocks were hit hard, as some investors think they've been overinflated by artificial intelligence hype. Washington Post economics reporter Rachel Siegel talked to us about some concerns involving the American economy.
It has to do with the pileup of disappointing economic news in the U.S. that's giving concerns all around the world as to whether or not the U.S. economy is slowing too much.
That includes Friday's jobs report. It showed the U.S. unemployment rate hit 4.3%, a nearly three-year high.
It was sort of this first sign that actually maybe the job market is slowing much more rapidly and in more worrisome ways than we thought. And if you add that with some disappointing reports from the tech sector and other signs that people are just sort of starting to pull back under the continued weight of inflation, under high interest rates, it just sort of starts to create a picture of an economy that was looking really good, but could really start to slow quite quickly. And it's when that shift happens that bad things can go on from there.
Goldman Sachs now says there's a 25% chance of a U.S. recession, up from 15%. All of these concerns are putting more pressure on the Fed. Critics say it should have cut interest rates by now to help prevent the economy from sputtering. Chicago Fed President Austin Goolsbee told CNBC yesterday that the bank is watching what happens and will take action when it's needed. The Post's Siegel summed up the general sense from Wall Street to Washington: don't jump to conclusions over a bad day of trading.
We definitely don't seem to be in a recession already. There are so many other real signs of strength in the economy. So even though we're looking specifically at some indicators that have turned a little bit in the last couple of days, the economy is doing really quite well in these sort of macro ways. It's still growing. The job market itself is still growing. Inflation is easing. Wages are still healthy. So there are lots of reasons to know that we are not in a recession right now.
Now to a story about a healthcare shortage that impacts all of us. Most of us have probably, at one point or another, visited our doctor and been seen by a nurse practitioner. Nurse practitioners have advanced degrees, are often trained in specialty medicine, and are more readily available than doctors, which makes them a huge asset in our overstretched system. In fact, it's the fastest-growing profession in the country. But Bloomberg Businessweek reports the pool of nurse practitioners might be growing so fast that it's starting to come with some risks. Take the case of 60-year-old Fred Bedell, who went to an emergency room in Florida complaining of abdominal pain. A test showed that his blood glucose level was dangerously elevated.
So this is the sort of thing that you could kind of consider healthcare 101. You get a blood test back. It shows elevated blood sugar, significantly elevated blood sugar. This is not some esoteric or exotic, weird disease or ailment. It's something that a lot of Americans deal with every day.
Caleb Melby is a reporter with Bloomberg News. He told us that the nurse practitioner who treated Bedell had just gotten his license a few months earlier after completing a mostly online course. They sent Bedell home.
He died days later of diabetic ketoacidosis. And the Florida Department of Health would later say that the nurse practitioner should have treated him by admitting him to the hospital and administering fluids to him to lower that blood sugar level. Neither one of those things happened, and it resulted in Fred Bedell dying.
The problem, Bloomberg says, is in some of the new training that's emerging. There's so many people eager to become nurse practitioners. It's a lot cheaper and easier to do than going to medical school and becoming a doctor, and it pays pretty well. But while the training for people going to med school is pretty uniform across the board, that's not the case for nurse practitioners.
They could go to an excellent school attached to a teaching hospital where they take the responsibility of training these students very seriously. But a growing number of them attend online schools run by for-profit companies.
Melby dug into what these schools are like, and he found that some of the recorded lectures can be years old and that interactions with professors are often limited to emails and message boards. The clinical portion of training done is typically in a medical facility, but those stints are brief and the quality varies widely, according to students. Melby told us the story of another patient, Tiffany Dunbar, a mother of three, who went to a busy OBGYN clinic in D.C. for some pain she was experiencing. During the appointment, a nurse practitioner informed Dunbar that she was pregnant, but
the nurse practitioner failed to notify Tiffany that she was encountering an ectopic pregnancy, a pregnancy that was occurring outside of the uterus, and Tiffany died.
As Bloomberg points out, mistakes happen in the medical field, even deadly ones, even among the most experienced clinicians. But the common route to becoming a nurse practitioner in this country puts them at greater risk of failure. And that's frustrating and upsetting to many nurse practitioners themselves who want to do their best work and help people. One told Bloomberg he advised his own mom to seek out a doctor instead of following the advice of a nurse practitioner who wanted to change her medications. He said after going through his own online program and thinking it wasn't rigorous enough, he worries about other nurse practitioners entering the system. Before we let you go, a few other stories that'll stick with you in the Apple News app. First, a major verdict rocking Silicon Valley. A federal judge ruled that Google engaged in illegal practices to monopolize search. That's a big win for the Justice Department. More court hearings will come in the months ahead on what changes Google may be ordered to make. Google argued that more people use its search engine because it's the best. It plans to appeal the verdict. In education news, the San Francisco Chronicle looks at the artificial intelligence companies that want to transform college applications. Currently, rich kids have an edge getting into elite schools. That's in part because their parents can afford to hire expensive admissions counselors, consultants who can edit their applications and essays, advise them on building resumes, and keep track of deadlines. But now several companies say they can use AI to replicate much of what these admissions coaches do. And they're giving away some of their services for free. The companies are new, but if they deliver, they might help level the playing field for smart students who don't have the money to pay for college coaching. And finally, a special moment in Olympic gymnastics yesterday. In the floor competition, Brazil's Rebeca Andrade won gold. Simone Biles stepped out of bounds twice, leaving her with a silver medal, and American Jordan Chiles got the bronze. When they were on the podium getting their medals, the Americans both bowed down to Andrade, literally. Biles talked about the moment afterwards.
She's so amazing. She's queen. And first, it was an all-black podium, so that was super exciting for us. But then Jordan was like, should we bow to her? And I was like, absolutely. So we're like, are we going to do it now? And then that's why we did it. But she's such an excitement to watch. And then all the fans in the crowd always cheering for her. So it just... it was just the right thing to do.
You can see the image of that Olympic moment on the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the news app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next, the full story from Bloomberg Businessweek on nurse practitioners that we mentioned earlier. If you're listening in the podcast app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.